Ready to open up and let the Holy Spirit teach us, lead us and guide us. I firmly believe that we're living not only in the dispensation of the Holy Spirit, but that we're living in a dramatic moment when the Holy Spirit is going to do some things possibly that have never been done before, and that the church needs enlightenment regarding the person of the Holy Spirit more than ever before. And we're asking God that in these studies that we will not only receive learning, but experience. That someone will say, hey, I know more about him than I have ever known before. And that he's done something for me that's very wonderful. We are beginning this study on page 28 of your teaching syllabus, which we trust that everyone has. And it is called The Eternal Workings of the Holy Spirit. We have no biblical reference to any beginnings of the Holy Spirit. There are none. The Bible never tries to prove the existence of the Holy Spirit at all. In Hebrews 9 and 14, it says, in the blood of Jesus Christ, who through his eternal spirit purge your conscience from dead works to serve the living God. As far as we know, the Holy Spirit is uncreated. It means he is eternal, just as God the Father. Eternal means without beginning and also without ending or existing. The Holy Spirit is not just an influence, because an influence would have no power to determine, to decide, to think, or to teach. An influence has no power to act or to perform. The Holy Spirit has power in Acts 4 and 3 to shake a building. The Holy Spirit shook the whole building where they were praying. The Holy Spirit is God. He must be recognized as God, as a person. As we told you, I think, in our last lesson, that the total dispensations could actually be confined to three aspects or three periods of time. One in which God the Father dealt with humanity. They can all be sublet down lower into what God did in specific times that we call dispensations. Then we can go from God the Father to God the Son, which is brought to us in the four Gospels, God the Holy Spirit in the Acts of the Apostles, Epistles, and also the book of the Revelation of Jesus Christ. The Holy Spirit is identified in all dispensations. He is not just identified in one dispensation. In Genesis chapter 1 and verse 2, it says that the Spirit moved on the face of the deep. And that same Spirit moved for Jesus Christ to be born. And so he has always been on the move. In John 14 and 17, it says, even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, unbelievers cannot receive him, because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him, but ye know him, for he dwelleth in you and shall be in you. He dwelleth in you. We understand that the Holy Spirit is eternal in related to truth. In 1 John 5 and 6, it says, and this is that came by water and blood, even Jesus Christ, not by water only, but by water and blood. It is the Spirit that beareth witness, because the Spirit is truth. He is the embodiment of eternal truth. That is the reason he can be a teacher. He is the embodiment of eternal truth. In your being, the Spirit of God within us helps us discern what is truth and what is error. Now, I believe that. I have ministered for 50 years. I've never got on any kind of a sideline. And when someone, including today, wanted to bring a side issue and wanted me to begin to believe that you're actually born again at the time that you're baptized in water, and I said, no, the thief on the cross wouldn't have made it over your doctrine. He couldn't have made it. And so I said, I can't accept that, because there might be a lot of other thieves on crosses, and we want them to make it. And so you make it by faith in the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. The only way to heaven is that the blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, cleanses us from all sin. God wants us to walk in truth, and I believe in the Holy Spirit. He will bear witness to whether the thing is truth or not if we will permit him to and walk as he would have us to walk. If you know it, say amen. Amen. In 1 John 4 and 6, it says, we are of God. He that knoweth God heareth us. He that is not of God heareth us not. Hereby know we the spirit of truth and the spirit of error. And so he reveals to us what is truth and what is error. By within us, he confirms that which is true and that which is not true. I find that very difficult personally, because so many good friends that you like go off into things that are not true. And you say, well, why didn't they just let the Holy Spirit guide them? But if there's an element of pride, the Holy Spirit can take us the wrong way. I mean, Satan can take us the wrong way. But if we can take pride out of our hearts and walk humbly before him, I just don't believe there's much of a chance for getting into error. I just don't believe that. At least I've experienced in my life that I have stayed in the middle of the truth of God. The Holy Spirit draws our attention to Jesus, that is his abilities. John 16:13, when the Spirit of truth has come, he will guide you into all truth. Isn't that amazing? He did come. He was prophesied, and he did come. He'll guide you into all truth. Say all. Bless God. For he shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak, and he will show you things to come. And so he will bring to our attention whatever the Lord Jesus has told him in the throne room of the Almighty in heaven. The Holy Spirit provides eternal access to the throne of God. In Ephesians 2:18, for through him we both have access by one Spirit unto the Father. So he provides an access unto God for us through his movements, through his movings, through his speakings within us. He provides an access, a movement into the Godhead. Galatians 5:18, but if we are led by the Spirit, ye are not under the law. And so when we are led by the Spirit, we're not under any kind of a law. We are free. Whom the Son sets free is free indeed, and it's the business of the Holy Spirit to keep us into this freedom. That the eternal Holy Spirit is unsearchable by human wisdom. No one can teach the Spirit, for example. In 1 Corinthians 2:11, it says, for what man knoweth the things that man save the spirit of man which is in him? Even so the things of God knoweth no man but the Spirit of God. And so his wisdom, his understanding, his knowledge, his revelation is unsearchable. It is impenetrable. You can get a little of it, you can get some of it, but he is deity. You will not get all of it. In the Revelation chapter 5 and verse 6, it says, and I beheld, and lo, in the midst of the throne, and of the four beasts, and in the midst of the elders, stood a lamb as it had been slain, having seven horns and seven eyes, which are the seven spirits of God sent forth unto the earth. We are not going to study in this particular. We have studied it in the book of Revelation. We have these lessons outlined in that syllabus, if you want to refer to that. But we only wanted you to see that these spirits are one, the seven spirits of God. They are one, embodied in the Holy Spirit, and that they are what God is. They are the personality of God, the workings of God, the essence of the God being, and they're very beautiful. I hope you will refer to them in that teaching syllabus. The omnipotence of the eternal Holy Spirit. God the Spirit is eternally existent and is an omnipotent force. He is unlimited in power from eternity. There isn't anything he cannot do. He can turn the world upside down. And you see, he can do anything. By omnipotent, it means he has all power. He is not limited in any form whatsoever in power. That is because he is deity. In 1 Peter 3:8, it says, for Christ also, who hath suffered for our sins, the just for the unjust, that he might bring us to God, being put to death in the flesh, but he was quickened by the Spirit. It was the power of the Holy Ghost that brought him back forth from the dead. And so every man's body, it says that we shall be quickened also by the Spirit, is renewed when the Holy Spirit lives within him. You can't help but be renewed if the Holy Spirit dwells within you. In Romans 8 and 11, it says, But if the Spirit of him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you, he that raised up Christ from the dead shall quicken, give life to, cause to move. The word quick is an old English word that means it's not dead, it's not still, it has movement to it. That it shall bring to life our mortal bodies by his Spirit. By his Spirit, with a capital S, that dwelleth in you. If we can come to know the functions and the operations of the Spirit from these scriptures, I think it'll help us to have a far greater knowledge of what the Spirit is able to do in the church and into us particularly. The Holy Spirit eternally works signs and wonders. Romans 5, 15, 19, through mighty signs and wonders by the Spirit, by the power of the Spirit of God. That's what Paul said. So that from Jerusalem around about into Illyricum, which was in Europe, I have fully preached the gospel. And so here is a man that performed, he says, many signs and wonders, but he did it by the power of the Spirit of God. That is the movement of the Holy Spirit. And in Hebrews chapter 2 and verse 3, it says, how shall we escape if we neglect so great a salvation, which at first began to be spoken by the Lord and was confirmed unto us by them that heard him, God also bearing them witness, both with signs and wonders and with divers miracles, and the gifts of the Holy Ghost. Through the gifts of the Holy Ghost, and they were according to his own will. That means the will of the Holy Spirit. And so these signs and these wonders that take place in the body, they are energized and they are moved by the unction and the anointing of the Holy Ghost himself, that he is the one that causes these gifts to function all in us. On page 30, at the top, it says the eternal Spirit makes the believer to abound in hope. To abound in hope. In Romans 15, 13, now the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, that ye may abound in hope through the power of the Holy Ghost. When you find people that don't have hope, recommend to them the power of the Holy Ghost. See, now I'd like to tell you something. The Word of God says in Romans 15 and 13 that you can have hope and that you can be filled with hope. And it says through the power of the Holy Ghost. That's one of his functions. The eternal Spirit is also omniscient. The Holy Spirit is omniscient with having unlimited knowledge. There's no limit to the knowledge that he has. It cannot be put into books. It cannot be estimated at all. He has unlimited knowledge. He can reveal what man has not seen and what man has not known. In 1 Corinthians 2 and 10, but God hath revealed them unto us by his Spirit. For the Spirit searcheth all things, even the deep things of God. And so we are dealing with someone who knows everything. He has all power. So we don't have to be afraid of him. And as a person, he has this. I wish I could have lived a few hundred years ago and saw what that church did. But in our time, the church has not taught strongly on the person of the Holy Ghost, that he is a person and that he is one that you will know in heaven and that he is one that you can identify we'll be able to identify as well as the Lord Jesus Christ, and that you can come to have a personal relationship with him of a love and appreciation and anything that you would have for the Lord Jesus Christ. Not only is he omnipotent and omniscient, he's also omnipresent. The Holy Spirit is omnipresent. He has ability to be present in all places equal at the same time. He can be in China, Africa, Europe, South America, the Isles of the Sea, and right here, all at the same moment. You say, I don't understand that. You will when you get to heaven. You will understand it when you get to heaven. We're so limited in our corporate being here, it's very difficult for us to pass over into the spirit world, out of corporality into the spirit world. It's not an easy thing to do. David said in Psalm 139:7, whither shall I go from thy Spirit? Whither shall I flee flee from thy presence. If I ascend to heaven, thou art there. If I make my bed in hell, behold, thou art there. If I take the wings of the morning and dwell in the uttermost parts of the sea, even there shall thy hand lead me, and thy right hand shall behold me. And so the Spirit, you cannot get away from. You cannot find a place to be removed from it. And that is what we want to do. Anywhere you go, he's there. That's the best part of it. We're not trying to hide from him. We're trying to be sure that he's anywhere we go, he is there. And that he has the ability to be at your workshop, in the office, or wherever we might be, he is there. He is in every area, even heaven or hell, wherever you happen to land up, the Spirit of God will be there. You won't be helping those people in hell very much. I wouldn't want to bargain on any blessing from that point. The Holy Spirit is not confined to corporality. He is not limited by any geographical confinement. Now, those are things we have to know and have to realize in him. Eternal, at the top of page 31, the eternal Holy Spirit and the eternal Word are one. Now, let's move into this a little slowly here. The Holy Spirit dictated the Bible. In 2 Peter 1 and 21, it says, "For the prophecy came in not in the old time by the will of men, but holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost." And so the Holy Spirit and the Word are one. He caused the Word to be written. He energized the Word. He produced the Word. He spoke the Word through channels of human beings that put it down for the others to read. So the eternal Holy Spirit and the eternal Word of God, they're one. One flows from the other. And it's a beautiful thing for you to know that every word in the whole Bible flowed out from the Holy Spirit to us. And we have it because of him. The Holy Spirit eternally instructs us. The Holy Spirit teaches believers to look at things from a spiritual and a supernatural rather than a carnal viewpoint. In First Corinthians chapter 2 and verse 13, "Which things also we speak, not in the words which man's wisdom teacheth, but which the Holy Ghost teacheth, comparing spiritual things with spiritual." Paul was speaking to a church just like our body here right now, and he said, "Which things we speak, not in words which men's wisdom teacheth." He didn't want to get into the carnality of teaching Greek logic. He said, "But which the Holy Ghost teacheth." Now, I want us to learn that the Holy Spirit can teach you things that you would never learn anywhere else on the face of the earth. You know, Jesus said to Peter, "Flesh and blood had not revealed this unto thee." You see, "but my Father which is in heaven." So there are revelations from God that we can receive that you won't ever learn in any school in the world. And they will be according to the Word of God. There's no revelation that contradicts the Bible. If you have a revelation that contradicts the Bible, forget it. Because God does not contradict himself. And so when you get a revelation, it will be completely in reference to the Word of God. The eternal Word is the eternal Spirit. Ephesians 6 and 7, "And take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God." Which is the Word of God. So you cannot remove the Spirit and the Word from being one together. They flow together. The administration of the Holy Spirit in this dispensation is that the Word of God should flow to the people, and you have all of his dynamics behind that Word flowing out to the people. Now, let's look at some very exciting things regarding the eternalness of the Holy Spirit. It says Jesus Christ was conceived by the eternal Spirit. We're going to study that in another lesson. The eternal Spirit had a very real part in Christ's natural birth. And in Matthew 1 and 20, it tells you how he was conceived by the Holy Spirit. And the eternal Spirit anointed Jesus for his ministry. And we will refer to that a little later also, that it was the Spirit of God that projected him into that glorious ministry that he had to save the world. And you'll see there the eternal Spirit anointed Jesus for the deliverance of mankind. In Acts chapter 10, verse 38, says God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power, who went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed of the devil, for God was with him. We're trying to show you that there is no aspect of divine revelation where the Holy Spirit is not functioning there. Now, he will function that in that way today. The time will come when the Holy Spirit will do more for the body of Christ than has ever been done on the face of this earth. And we will recognize his power, and we will shout and praise and magnify God for the supernatural power of the Holy Ghost that's functioning through us in our corporality. Not when we get over into heaven and not when we get reached into another dominion, but right in this present life, we're going to see the function and operation of the Holy Ghost. And that's the reason God wants us to study more and penetrate deeper into who he is, what he is, where he came from, and what he's capable of doing for the body today. God cannot bless ignorance. So we just move forward in wisdom and knowledge that he might be able to help us. The eternal spirit anointed Jesus Christ for the deliverance of mankind. And that's Acts 10 and 20, 38 that we just read to you. The eternal spirit anointed Jesus to be a teacher. In Acts 1 and 1 it says, this former treatise I have made, O Theophilus, of all that Jesus began both to do and to teach. And so not only did the Holy Spirit bless him in the things that he performed, but also in the things that he said upon the face of the earth. The eternal spirit anointed God's servants to minister besides the Lord Jesus Christ until the day he was taken up, after he through the Holy Ghost had given commandment unto the apostles whom he had chosen. And so the same spirit that energized Jesus and the same Holy Ghost that made him teach the proper things also caused his disciples to follow those commandments that had been given to our Lord Jesus Christ. The eternal spirit prophesied of Christ's kingdom that is to come. In the book of Isaiah chapter 9 verse 7, it says, of the increase of his government and the peace, there shall be no end upon the throne of David and upon his kingdom, to order it, to establish it with judgment and with justice from henceforth even forever. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform this. And so the Holy Spirit speaking to Isaiah over 700 years before Christ was born, I said, I want you to know something. He will come. He will have a government. And the peace that he will produce, this is called, speaking of the millennial kingdom, will have no end to it. And upon the throne of David he shall sit, and upon his kingdom, to order it, to establish it with judgment and with justice from henceforth, and it'll be forever. At the end of the great tribulation, man's ruling on this earth will have completely terminated forever. He had 6,000 years of it, and God says that's enough. And then the Lord Jesus will rule for 1,000 years. After that, there should be a new heaven and a new earth. And with a new heaven and the new earth, there will be those that will be nations on the face of the earth that will be ruled. And as far as we can tell, they will be ruled by the saints. By those that have been chosen by God as saints to rule. Your next point, the eternal spirit births every true Christian, births him, causes him to come into being, causes him to be the born-again person that he is. In John 3 and 5, Jesus answered, verily I say unto you, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, with a capital S, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. And oftentimes the water speaks to us of the Word, being born of the Word and being born of the Spirit. He cannot enter the kingdom of God. But anyway, the Spirit, when you say, I receive Jesus, I accept Jesus, the Holy Ghost moves in and brings this thing to birth just as surely as he brought to birth the Lord Jesus Christ through the Virgin Mary. He comes in and does a miracle. So we don't ask people to make a decision for Christ. We ask them to be birthed. To come alive, to receive a new nature and a new strength and a new power in their hearts and in their lives. The eternal spirit makes every Christian a temple of the Holy Spirit. I thought that was very exciting. In 1 Corinthians 6 and 19, what? Know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which ye have of God, and ye are not your own, for you're bought with a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. And so we are made into an eternal temple of the Holy Spirit by His power and by His presence. We become a dwelling house, a dwelling place for the Almighty to put His Shekinah upon. We become the temple of the Most High here on the face of the earth through the function of the Spirit. Through the function of the Spirit. And we're hoping that within us, some way or another, we will come to draw a line in what the Lord Jesus is doing for us, if the Lord wants it this way, and what the Holy Spirit is doing for us, where you will be able to identify. And the only way that I know to do it is to take every scripture in the Bible and analyze what it says the Spirit does in our lives. The eternal Spirit quickens. In Romans 8 and 9, it says, and if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. And if Christ be in you, the body is dead, because of sin, but the Spirit of life, because of righteousness. But the Spirit of life, the Spirit is life, because of righteousness. The Holy Spirit brings a new life within us. We must walk in the eternal Spirit for total victory. In Galatians 5 and 16, it says, this I say then, walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lusts of the flesh. So not only are we to identify the almightiness and the greatness and the majesty of the Holy Spirit, then it comes down to a very everyday situation where we are to walk in the Spirit. We are to live in the Spirit. We are to make decisions in the Spirit. And this is the thing we want to do. We want to learn who He is, how He functions, how He operates, and how we can make decisions that will please Him in our hearts and lives. And I have a feeling that's exactly what God is going to do for us as we move in closer and closer to Him. We want to say thank you, Father, that we're learning of the eternalness of the Holy Spirit of God. And we're seeking to know His majesty and His glory and His person. And His person to identify Him in our lives. And we're believing you for divine revelation in each one of our hearts and lives, that we shall know Him as we should know Him. And for your blessings upon this class nationwide, we want to thank you for it. And all the people said.